Good morning, church. Today's Bible reading will be from Matthew 7, 1 to 5. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Let me take the speck out of your eye," when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First, take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Thanks, Justin. It's great to have you involved in today's service. Well, here we are still, almost 18 months later, still reeling from the effects of this pandemic. Who would have thought 18 months later we would still be in this situation? And my feeling out there is that this particular lockdown has been so much harder than last time for various reasons. But that's the nature of the pandemic that we are in, isn't it? This pandemic has brought with it so much difficulty, hardship. It's been so confusing. Again, this has been one of the most difficult times in people's lives. It's been so devastating in so many ways. But that's what pandemics tend to be and do. And whilst this pandemic is a long way from over, it would seem, the current pandemic has actually brought to light another pandemic that I believe that we are starting to see and realize more so in our social sphere. And that is in the area of our relationships and in judging people in particular. I believe this particular pandemic has brought to light again another pandemic, the pandemic of judging others, or the judging others pandemic. And this pandemic isn't new, but it has grown in severity over the last little while, I believe. And I would say that it has grown exponentially over the last little while or so. And the difficulty about this pandemic and this situation of judging others is that these judgments and these assumptions about people aren't left to our minds and then in our hearts. They're out there for the whole entire world to see, particularly on social media. I first realized how sickening and how bad this disease was in my own life when I was a young adult. I realized this when the moment I met someone or walked past someone, particularly at the university campus at the time, I would automatically jump to conclusions about who these people were. I would make assumptions about their lives and how they lived their lives, an extremely unhealthy aspect of my life at the time. But it's fair to say God quickly smashed this out of my life, particularly as I mentioned last week when I started that job with the Salvation Army and I met a man called Craig who was homeless and an alcoholic, and God helped me realize that it's not healthy to be making assumptions about people who are made in His very image or judging people. And again, it was around this time that God opened my eyes to the reality of the sin that was engulfing my life. And I had to learn to stop judging people. But not only this, but God opened my eyes through particular passages that He brought into my life, passages from Scripture like Matthew 7, the passage that Justin read out for us, a passage where Jesus emphatically emphasizes to His disciples the importance of not judging another human being. But not only this passage, but passages like Proverbs 18 in particular, a few verses in Proverbs 18, verse number 2, Proverbs 18, verse 2 says, "Fools have no interest in understanding. They only want to air their own opinions." Or Proverbs 18, 13, "Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish." Proverbs 18, verse 15, "Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are always open for knowledge." Or Proverbs 18, verse 17, which says, "The first to speak in court sounds right until the cross-examination begins." At the heart of these passages and these verses, particularly Matthew 17 and Proverbs 18, is the idea and the notion of not jumping to conclusions, not judging others or making assumptions about a person because of the way they look or maybe because of the way they behaved in a certain situation. And over time, God did a work in my life to reveal the importance of living this out in my life. And my prayer today is that He does the same in all of our lives to help us realize whether we are doing this or not. And this brings us to our next skill or practice that we're going to dive into today from the emotionally healthy relationships material. And that is the importance of stop mind reading and clarifying expectations. A message that I've retitled today to be, again, the judging others pandemic. Because again, what we are seeing, I believe, more and more are people that are judging other human beings. People that continue to jump to conclusions, make assumptions about others, whether that be political leaders or people on social media. What we do is we jump to conclusions. We make assumptions about people because of our sinful nature. And my inclination is this continues to become the case as we as a society continue to take steps away from Jesus. And we make life more about ourselves than we do about others. Again, this is a judging others pandemic of global proportions. The heart of getting beyond this is again coming to the words and the premise that Jesus speaks about in Matthew chapter 20 when he says, "So the last will be first and the first will be last." The premise of this is, in all of Jesus' ministry, was to emphasize the importance of practicing a heart or nurturing a heart of humility and sacrifice. Whether that sacrifice be our own honor or trying to prove ourselves right in certain situations, this is the heart that we need to adopt if we are to get beyond this pandemic of judging others. Again, I believe that we judge others when we view people when they are inferior and we view ourselves as superior, or our values, our ideas about this world and others as being superior to others. So we have a lot of work to do in this area, amen? Not just as a church, but as a society, as a world. And so this morning, again, we are going to learn these practices, to incorporate these skills, to put them in place so that we can overcome this over time. Because this attitude is obviously unhealthy. As I realized when I was a young adult, it was unhealthy to harvest this heart, to harvest these thoughts and these opinions, these conclusions about others. And so what we're going to do is to look at this strategy, implement these skills, again, of stop mind reading and clarify expectations. Stop mind reading and clarify expectations. And the principle behind this is to never assume that you know what a person is thinking or feeling. Instead, clarify whether your expectations and assumptions of this person or people are valid or not. And these skills that we're looking at today are based on the ninth commandment, which is found in Exodus 20, verse 16, which says, "You shall not give false testimony or false witness against your neighbor." Because the reality is, when we start to make false assumptions about people, when we start to jump to conclusions or, again, make false assumptions without clarifying whether these assumptions or conclusions are actually true, it's easy for us to conjure up stories about these people in our heads that simply aren't true. And this is bearing false witness or false testimony against our neighbor. And again, this can be extremely damaging to our relationships with others. So first and foremost, stop mind reading. And this is something that those Proverbs that I read out earlier and what Jesus was speaking about in Matthew chapter 7 is getting at, the importance of not mind reading. It's emphasized, it's emphatic in these passages. What they reveal to us is that it is wise to clarify what another person is thinking and not jumping to conclusions or making assumptions. We must never assume that we know what another person is thinking or what they are feeling. And the reason why this is so dangerous is twofold. First of all, we tell ourselves stories about others that aren't true, as I just said. And if we are not careful, we can leak these out to other people, and that is when it gets really messy. Or number two, ultimately, by making assumptions to jump into conclusions without checking them out, this damages our friendships, our families, and our relationships in our churches and in our workplaces. Take this story as an example of how dangerous it can be to jump to conclusions or to make assumptions of a photographer from the United States who was trying to make or take photos for the national news magazine that he was working for on the bushfires or the forest fires or raging out of control across the west coast of the United States. The photographer jumped into his car. He went to try and take these photos only to realize that the firefighters had blocked the path off for him to be able to take these photos of the bushfire or the forest fire, again, that was engulfing the west coast of the United States. And so he rang his editor and he said to the editor, "They blocked the paths off. I think the photos that I need will be better if I get to the air in a plane and take these photos from the air." And so the editor replied with, "I have a friend that has a plane. I'll ring him up, get to the airport straight away, and you'll be on your way to take these photos." So the photographer arrives at the airport. He jumps onto the tarmac. He sees a plane idling, ready to take off, ready to go. He grabs his camera, he jumps into this plane and yells to the pilot, "Let's go, let's go." And off they go to take these photos. And as they were in the air, as they start flying over the fire, the photographer turns to the pilot and says, "Okay, I need you to approach the fire from a northerly direction. If you fly really low, I'll be able to get the correct or the best pictures." The pilot says and turns to the photographer, "Why in the world do you want to be taking photos of this fire?" The photographer looks back at him and says, "Well, that's what I do for a living. I need to get these pictures. It's my job." And then there's a silence, an awkward silence. The pilot turns to the photographer and says, "Do you mean to say you're not my flight instructor?" So that's a bit of a funny story, but again, emphasizes the point, doesn't it, of not jumping to conclusions, not making assumptions, because in this story, there are some big assumptions being made about the other, isn't there? The pilot assumed his friend was his instructor, taking him on the flight to teach him how to fly. The photographer assumed that this was the plane waiting for him to take him to go and take these photos of the bushfire. Again, jumping to conclusions can lead to problems. Making assumptions can lead to huge ramifications that affect and damage our relationships with others. And so again, the principle is a simple one, I believe. Never assume that you know what another person is thinking or what they are feeling as well. And this has been true in my life. Again, this is something I need to work on and have had to work on. And the times that I have jumped to conclusions or made assumptions or tried to mind read, basically, was the times where I've been operating out of my brokenness, my insecurities. That's just been my experience. And I believe that when we do this, we need to be aware of the broken areas of our life, the insecurities, the issues in our life that we may not have resolved in our lives. Because from my experience, when we jump to conclusions, when we make assumptions, it's basically coming out of this air of brokenness in our lives, whether that be self-worth or not feeling good enough about ourselves, comparing ourselves to others and operating out of this sense of jealousy. Again, we need to be aware of or allow the Holy Spirit to make these areas of our life known so that we can learn to this practice of not jumping to conclusions or making assumptions. Again, it's all because of the sin within us, amen? That is why we need God to do that work in us. It can't be something that we do in our own strength. So the question with all this in mind, the question for us here today to reflect on, in light of how damaging this can be to our relationships, is to take a moment to consider the different areas of your life, whether that be your work life and your workplace, within the context of the church, your family, whether that be your relationships with your children, with your parents, with your siblings, within your own marriage, maybe it's your friendship groups or with your neighbors. I encourage us to consider an area of our life where we may be making assumptions about another person or about a situation, issue that is in our lives at the moment. Take a moment to reflect on that area of our life, and take a moment to reflect on where we might be making assumptions in our lives today. Take a moment to reflect on that, and then we'll come back with the skills or the practices to overcome this particular issue. Well, hopefully that was a productive and helpful time for you where God maybe brought to light an area of your life that you need to be working on when it comes to making assumptions or jumping to conclusions. Again, it needs to be God's work in us, amen? We cannot do it in our own strength. But the strategies to overcome this issue are twofold. And Peter Scazzera speaks of these strategies. Number one is the strategy of asking permission of that person that you may be making assumptions about. Ask that person, ask him or her permission to read their mind. That's number one. Ask permission to read his or her mind. The second, when they say yes, is to, is this correct? I think you are thinking, is this correct? So for an example, once they say yes, obviously, I think that you think I'm responsible for the Christmas shopping this year. Is that correct? I noticed you didn't return my phone calls for a few days. That's unusual for you. I'm wondering if there's something wrong. Number three, I noticed you didn't call me from work today. Is everything okay, or is there still some lingering tension from our disagreement last night? Hopefully you can see by asking the question, the last one in particular, we can avoid making assumptions or negative assumptions about our spouse maybe, or a friend that we've disagreed with when they may have just been busy at work that day and had something go on. But yet we're thinking that it's resulting from the previous night and jumping to conclusions and feeling bitter about this person for no good reason at all. So hopefully we can see that this process stops us going down the path of jumping to negative conclusions or making negative interpretations about a situation in our lives. So first of all, once again, to recap, ask permission to read his or her mind. And by doing this, you're asking to clarify if the conclusion is an accurate one or not. And second of all, I think you think, is this correct? And by saying this, you're not beating around the bush, but specifically targeting and identifying the assumption that you may have made in your own mind. So again, if we don't do this, if we don't practice these skills, what we'll tend to do is build up resentment towards that individual or towards that person in our lives, again, in some cases, for no reason at all. And what we do is we hurt ourselves. We hurt our relationship with that person. Ultimately, worst of all, we can quench and damage the work of God or the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that's the first one, stop mind reading. The second, in order to overcome this judging others pandemic, is to clarify expectations. And the idea behind this one is to recognize whether certain expectations are valid or not, and to clarify our expectations of others. And we must realize that expectations can come in a myriad of different ways, from again our family of origin. It's important again to identify this, our family dynamic growing up, the churches that we may have grown up in, our value system, our belief system. Expectations can come from a number of different places, our workplaces, our schooling, our cultures, billboards, the media. We need to be aware of where our expectations are coming from in our lives. But it's also important to limit the amount of expectations we are placing onto others. Because unmet expectations, they cause marriage breakdowns, church splits, employees quitting, families that fall apart generally come about from unmet expectations that most people don't even realize they had. If we are to respect and to love one another as Jesus did, if we are to live the life that he has modeled to us and exemplified to us, then we must learn to guard ourselves from unconscious, unrealistic, unspoken, and unagreed upon expectations. This is something that we've discussed previously. This is something we've discussed before, but let me jog your memory, jog our memories. First of all, unconscious expectations. These are expectations of others that some of us don't even know that we have. Again, they may be have formed over time by our family dynamic, our belief systems. It's not until we have been disappointed by someone that we realize that we have had these expectations of someone. The next one is unrealistic expectations. We can have expectations, but they are not reasonable expectations. Unspoken expectations. We may have expectations that we are aware of, that we are conscious of, that may be realistic, but they have not been communicated to the other person. They are unspoken expectations. And finally, unagreed upon expectations. Expectations that we may be aware of, they may be realistic. At least to us, they have been communicated, but the other party doesn't agree with them. They need to have agreed upon them too. And it goes both ways. Others might have expectations of you and I that we did not agree to. And again, this is absolute key. For expectations to be valid, Peter Scazzaro says they need to be agreed upon. Let me say that again. For expectations to be valid, it's important that they are agreed upon by both parties. The exception to this rule or this principle obviously is in a parent-child relationship where, again, the parent might have expectations that their child or their children are expected to do a certain amount of chores around the house. Or an employer or an employee contract relationship or the vows that we take in marriage. And so hopefully we can see the importance of practicing these skills, implementing these skills into our lives, not just to stop mind reading, but also to clarify expectations as well. And how do we do this? Well, finally, it comes back to communication once again. Communication is so key in these two skills. And from both parties as well, I feel that you have these expectations of me, you might say. You have these expectations on me to have the Christmas shopping done this year. Is this correct? I don't agree that it needs to be just me, but a joint effort. Do you agree with that? Or another example might be, I'm wondering if you have the expectation that I'm meant to organize this church event this year. I'm not sure that I agree that it needs to be all up to me. Again, when we practice these skills, when we put them into place, the key attribute that is pure gold to any organization, to any relationship, is the attribute and virtue of trust. When you have trust in a relationship, when you have trust in organizations, in churches, that is so healthy, so important, it is pure gold. And you can achieve so much more when trust is forefront of our minds and in our relationships. So again, many relational issues can be resolved by simply clarifying expectations around them. Other issues may need to go a little bit deeper. They may require a certain level of negotiation involved in these predicaments and in these issues. And we're going to tackle that in the coming weeks again when we look at the skill of learning to fight cleanly. But all in all, by practicing these skills, by harvesting these practices, it will ensure that we build healthy relationships around us in our lives, but also in the context of our church here at Sans Souci Baptist Church. Again, so important. But what we must also realize, as important as that is, it's far more important to be prioritizing our relationship with God. Because as we examined last week, as we looked at, our love for others needs to come from our love from God. As we prioritize God, as we allow His love to infiltrate our hearts, that will ensure that it overflows into the lives of those around us. So again, I encourage you, church, to practice these skills, absolutely, but also prioritize God in your life to ensure that His love is dictating your love for others in your life. Let me pray that this would be a reality in our lives. Father God, as we come now to this time of prayer, we again ask, Lord God, that you would remind us of the importance it is to spend time with you, to dive into our relationship with you, to prioritize it in order that your love may infiltrate our hearts, that we will get our love, our value, our love, our satisfaction from you and you alone. And from there, we know that that will mobilize us to love others in our midst, to practice these skills that we've been looking at, to stop mind reading, to clarify expectations, so that we may build healthy relationships amongst us. Lord God, continue to do a work in our lives in these areas, because we know that it can only be of you, and there's to be your Holy Spirit working in us, that we may become more like you in thought, word, and deed. Bless us this day, we pray, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.